Christians are supposed to be different from the world, and one place that difference should be easy to spot is stewardship. Hi, I'm Rob West. In a culture that glorifies materialism, true stewardship should stand out. Practicing it fully requires a working knowledge of the principles behind stewardship. We'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So the first principle we must understand about stewardship is ownership. God owns everything. He created everything, so that just stands to reason. And Scripture is very clear about this. Psalm 24, 1 and 2 reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." And in Deuteronomy 10:14, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that's in it." And finally, Psalm 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills." Well, now that we've established God's ownership, let's look at this from another angle. If God owns everything, that means we own nothing. That's a difficult concept to grasp because we possess a lot of stuff, a house, a car, a bank account. We hold those things, but we don't own them. God does. We own nothing, from the change in our pocket to the clothes on our back. God owns it all, and we're to use those resources wisely and in obedience to the Lord. You see, if we become arrogant about who's done what, it's good to remember that even the skills and abilities we have to acquire wealth belong to God. They're only on loan, if you will, and we're to use them to glorify Him first and foremost, not to enrich ourselves. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 makes this clear. It reads, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day." So, God owns everything. We own nothing. That's the first principle of stewardship. The second principle is responsibility. You see, as stewards, we have no rights over what we temporarily possess by the Lord's provision, but we do have responsibility to use those resources wisely for His purposes. There's nothing wrong with enjoying God's provision, but we must seek the balance between that and using His resources for His purposes. This is defined in 1 Timothy 6:17, which says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." One day, each of us will stand before the Lord to give an account of how we used His resources, just like the servants in the parable of the talents. The difference is, we'll be accountable for everything, not just money, but our time and abilities too. Those are all resources God has given us, so we must use them wisely. How do we know where to draw the line? How to enjoy God's provision without clinging to it and claiming it for our own? Well, I think that's something each of us must determine in quiet prayer with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26 reads, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Trust Him to tell you if you're enjoying or squandering what the Lord has given you. Now, the third principle of stewardship is reward. I think we have reason enough to be good stewards because of what God's already given us, the priceless gift of His Son for our salvation. But He promises even more blessings when we're faithful stewards. Colossians 3 reads, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." And of course, Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." How we manage God's provision will determine whether we hear those words someday. We all want to be declared good and faithful stewards. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. Much more to come just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I've often said, and I still think this is true, that Christians should be the happiest people on planet Earth. Why not? We've been loved, we've been welcomed, we've been saved by Christ, no matter the trials and sufferings we have. And believe me, we've all had our share of sorrows. We have a joy and a reason to smile that transcends our earthly pain. It's true, but it doesn't take away the pain, does it? In those moments, we need the words of Peter. Rejoice when you share in Christ's sufferings. Why? When His glory is revealed, you will be exceedingly glad. Even in pain, we can find joy. In Christ, mourning gives way to joy. Only in Christ. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're ready to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. You know, we started today by talking about stewardship, and that really is the fundamental idea behind our money management. You see, once we give our lives to Jesus and surrender and place our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sin, then it's about stewardship. What have we done with what we've been given? That's our time, our talent, God's Word, our relationships, and yes, our treasure, those resources that God has entrusted to us. Well, as stewards, we are not owners, we're managers, and we have to be responsible. And God said there are rewards to that, but we look to Scripture to be found faithful as stewards. That's really the key. We want to take your questions today, though, on anything financial, help you apply those principles we see in God's Word to the practical decisions and choices you're making today. So what are you thinking about? 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. You can call right now and get right through it. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Ohio, actually. Martha, go right ahead. Hi, Martha. Are you with us? All right. Looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with Martha's line. Let me try one more time. Martha, are you there?
All right, we're going to put you on hold, and our team will pick that line up and see if we can get Martha on the line. We've got some other calls coming in. Again, 800-525-7000. We will get to those in just a moment. We'll try one more time. Martha, are you there? All right, not yet. Okay, hey, you know, as we think about managing money, here's a question we got recently around retirement, and it has to do with what is the sequence of withdrawing money in retirement? A lot of the folks that call into this program every day are in that season of life, and they're starting to think about withdrawing money for living expenses. Now, you might think it's as simple as cashing out an IRA or pulling money from your savings account, but that's not necessarily true. Setting up retirement withdrawals can be tricky, especially if you have several different types of accounts. If you don't withdraw the money in the right order, you could end up with a bigger tax bill than necessary. So here's a couple of thoughts on that. First, remember, traditional IRA withdrawals are taxed as regular income, while Roth IRAs don't trigger a tax bill if you pull them out in the right time frame. And when you cash in non-retirement investments, so think taxable brokerage account, well, you may pay capital gains taxes. So as we look at this, we recommend that retirees liquidate non-retirement investments first, then use traditional IRA money, and finally Roth IRA accounts. This gives retirement accounts maximum time to accumulate and compound interest. And for those accounts that are tax advantaged, well, you have the opportunity for those to grow without the drag of the taxes. Another suggestion is before you retire, set up an account in a money market fund with your broker, bank, or investment company. Now, in retirement, you can withdraw a year's worth or less of expenses into the money market fund rather than trying to transfer money from your investments directly to your bank each time you need it. This is kind of like dollar cost averaging in reverse. It helps you smooth out the effects of market changes. Any other income streams like Social Security can be directed to that money market fund as well. And then you can move money easily from the money market to your bank account to pay your monthly expenses in retirement. You can even get check writing privileges in most cases on that money market. Now, if you can, I would say delay withdrawing from your taxable IRA accounts until you hit that required minimum distribution or RMD. Now, a lot of folks don't realize a new law just passed raises the age on the RMD from 72 all the way up to 75 years old for people born after 1960. So this is going to allow your accounts to continue earning interest as long as possible. Once you do start taking that RMD, you can use it to pay expenses or invest in a taxable account. If you don't need your RMD, your required minimum for expenses, consider rolling some of your traditional IRA money into a Roth, which isn't subject to the RMD rules. Now, another option there for that required minimum or for anyone over age 70 and a half is what we often talk about here on this program called a qualified charitable distribution. So this is essentially where you're satisfying that RMD, but you're transferring the asset directly to a ministry or charity of your choice. So let's say you want to support the work here at American Family Association or American Family Radio. You've got a required minimum. You don't need that money. Your income is covered through Social Security and maybe a pension, but the government's still going to make you take that out. Well, what if you transfer that straight over to AFA and they get the gift, you bless a ministry that's on your heart, but you're not adding that to your adjusted gross income for the year, so you don't pay any tax on it. The charity or ministry gets the full benefit of that money, and you have the opportunity to perhaps replace giving you would have done out of cash and satisfy that RMD at the same time. Now, for your Roth IRA, take withdrawals from that last of all because the Roth has no required minimums and the money you withdraw is not taxable. So the longer it grows, the better. Finally, don't assume you have to claim Social Security at age 62. Every year you delay taking those Social Security payments, your monthly benefit increases until it maxes out at age 70. Obviously, there's no benefit in waiting later than age 70 to take Social Security. This all sounds complicated, and it can be. Of course, every situation is different, but hopefully this helps to provide some counsel as to how to handle those withdrawals in this season of life. By the way, if you need an advisor to help you make a plan around all of this or to implement an investment strategy on your behalf, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. There's more than 1,400 of these men and women that have earned the CKA across the country and into Canada. You can find one at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Martha, I understand we do have you now with us. Is that right?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. How can I help today?
I was listening to your program the other day, and you had said that you shouldn't co-sign in any option for anybody else. My issue is that I have a daughter that's going to college, and she is 18, doesn't have that, doesn't have that credit built up. Yeah. I hate to stick her with a big loan at the end of this, so I'm trying to figure out how I can help her. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. So, are you all going to take responsibility for these, or are you really intending on her, paying this back on her own?
We are going to pay a certain amount every month, but above and beyond that, we want her to pay that back herself.
Okay. All right. And are you looking at federal student loans, or were you looking to get private loans?
Probably a private. I think she maxed out her FAFSA, which I'm assuming is that's her federal loans.
Right. She would be able to get the unsubsidized loans, perhaps, if you don't qualify for need-based aid. Have you looked at the Parent PLUS loans?
I haven't. I was told to do a private loan, and I don't know. I guess I don't know what's better.
Well, it just really is going to come down to where you get the best terms. Here's the bottom line, though. I think what you have to recognize is anytime you're signing surety for another or co-signing, you need to be ready, willing, and able to step in if she can't. Because otherwise you're going to have a damaged relationship there, and that's the primary concern. So I would say as long as you all are committing to step in the event she can't to avoid damage to credit and make good on the obligation, then you can co-sign. Just be ready to take it over. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were talking to a caller about student loans. She was asking about co-signing on those loans as a parent. She was referring to a broadcast we did a couple of days ago where we were talking about the fact that the Bible doesn't speak favorably about co-signing. Proverbs 11:15 says not to pledge surety for another, meaning don't co-sign a loan for another who doesn't qualify on his or her own. Proverbs 17:18, one who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Proverbs 22:26-27, be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. Why is that? Well, we know that the lender relationship with a borrower is a master-slave relationship in terms of what the Bible discusses, and we know that in 4 or 5 out of 10 cases, those who have to co-sign for another will end up stepping in to carry on the payments in order to avoid a default and damaged credit. So what does that mean? Well, it just means that we're going to put ourselves in a position if we co-sign in probably half of the cases where we are going to either have a damaged relationship or we need to be ready, willing, and able to step in. Now, as parents, how do we approach this? Well, there are several options. If you can get a federal loan, I would encourage that. There's both the subsidized, where the interest is covered while they're in school, and then the unsubsidized, where the interest starts occurring almost immediately after 6 months. You do need to recognize that with the direct unsubsidized loans, there's no requirement to show financial need to be eligible. And this allows the student, in most cases, to qualify and borrow without a parent co-signing. Now, for the parents to be involved, that's where the Parent Plus loans come in, or in some cases, it makes more sense to get a private loan, and that's where often a student will not have enough credit to qualify on their own. But again, if the parent gets involved, I think we just have to understand getting a cosigner release is not easy. The student will have to qualify down the road on their own, and 9 out of 10 times they're rejected if they apply for a cosigner release. So the parent is going to be ultimately responsible along with the child into the future. And again, you just need to go into this understanding that if that now adult child has a disruption in income, things don't turn out as they expect, they can't make those payments, and with the private loans, they don't have the income-based repayment options, mom and dad are going to have to step in and be willing to do that without a damage in the relationship. So just understand the implications of that. Be ready, willing, and able to take over. Try to go the federal route if you can and allow them to qualify on their own. And in all of these cases, let's try to minimize borrowing the best we can. Hopefully that helps you as you think about this, especially as we head into the fall. A lot of folks thinking about college right now. All right, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let's head to Illinois. Hi, Leland. Go ahead.
Good morning. My question is, so I've made the decision that it's not biblically correct to invest in inflation bonds, you know, government I bonds, but I don't actually have all the facts. So can you tell me, how does the government use the money and where does the increase come from?
So talk to me about just kind of your conviction around this as you've been thinking about it.
Okay, we've got an evil government that's promoting the gay agenda all across the world, here in the United States. I mean, in my opinion, the Democrats are working for the devil. You know, they are Antichrist. So by giving money to our government to do whatever they're doing with it, doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, you need to establish your own conviction on that. I mean, with government bonds, basically, you know, you're assisting the government in funding deficits in the federal budget, and they're also using that money to raise capital for any number of projects and spending. So ultimately, you have to be comfortable with that. If you're not, again, that's a conviction that you need to establish. I would say that's a Romans 14 matter. Let each one be fully convinced in his or her own mind. You know, I would say, first of all, related to the I-bonds, let's set the conviction aside for a second and just look at the merits of the investment. I don't even think I-bonds are very attractive any longer. They were, purely from an investment standpoint, about a year and a half ago when we saw, 9.6% rates just because of what was happening with 40-year high inflation. Then it dropped down to over 6%. Now we're down in the fours with I-bond rates, and I think they will continue to fall. Right now it's at 4.3. We'll get the new rate at the end of October, 1st of November. I think it'll be, you know, down certainly below four. So you can do much better in a CD or a high yield savings account at, you know, 4% plus with complete liquidity, which you don't have in the I bond. You've got to leave it there at least a year. And with a CD, you got, 5.5% plus if you use an online bank. So I think at the end of the day, you know, you need to invest in a way that aligns with your values and priorities as a believer. And that's between you and the Lord, whether that's a stock or a bond, government, corporate, whatever that might be. And then we need to marry your investment strategy, not only with your convictions and values, that's the starting place, but ultimately with a well thought out, diversified portfolio that makes sense for your age, objectives, and risk tolerance. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, but the value, the 4% versus the 9% doesn't really factor into whether or not it would be sinful. But where does the increase come from? You know, the 4%, the 9%, where does the government acquire that from? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, two things that you mentioned there. One is the conviction matter. Ultimately, I think that's between you and the Lord. And I'm not saying that the rate of return should drive the investment decision. I think we have to start with our values and priorities and convictions as believers as we look at the universe of investment options we want. And then we pair that back to only look at those investments that align with our values and priorities. And then from there, we build the right investment strategy. Where does that interest come from? Well, the government funds that out of current revenues, and they pay that interest out of tax receipts and other revenues that they receive. So that's where it comes from, and ultimately, they're taking on, you're funding their debt is what you're doing. We appreciate your call today, Leland. God bless you, my friend. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today in Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to Alabama. Hi, Karen. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi. How can I assist you?
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about an investment that several years ago, probably 10 years ago now, our financial advisor sold my husband this for his retirement account. It is through Seven Peaks Optimist, and we got a notice last fall from the investment firm that they no longer will be carrying that investment, and therefore, I guess we're on our own with it. But the problem is that I can get no information. The phone number that was listed on one of our old returns statements is no longer good. They gave me another phone number, and no one answers at that phone number. So what can I do about this investment?
Yeah. Are you still with this advisor that recommended this?
No.
Okay. Transferred your account away?
Yes.
Okay. And what firm was it with? A national firm, the advisor that you were with previously?
No, it was a local firm.
Okay. And where did you get your statements from? Was it was the account custodied at one of the big brokerage firms like Schwab or Fidelity or one of those?
No, it was custodied at their firm, Rockbridge.
Hmm. Okay. Because typically, if they were a registered investment advisor, they would be the manager, the advisor of record, but they would have the assets held somewhere else, which would be, who provides the infrastructure, the trading and the statements and the tax forms and all of that. It may be worth reaching back out to that advisor since that's the person that sold it to you. Is this listed in your current account, or is it just held, you just have some documentation and it's held outside of your investment portfolio?
It's held outside. It was sold to us as part of his 401k, but I don't really understand all of ramifications of that.
Yeah. And do you get statements on this periodically, quarterly or semiannually?
No. No, I've gotten no statement in over probably 10 months now, and I cannot reach them at the phone number that has been provided. No one answers.
Yes. And how was this described to you? What type of investment is this? Is it a hedge fund or something else?
It was described to us. First of all, we were not told that it was not liquid, that you couldn't get out of it.
Right.
So there's a little problem there. But it was sold to us as an investment that had a formula for protecting you from a falling market while earning the returns from a rising market.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I would, do quite a bit of work just to continue to try to chase down the investment itself. Do you have some paperwork that shows your interest in it and, the amount of the investment that you have and so forth? Did you get a prospectus when you first invested?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I have the prospectus, but I do have statements from them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I would probably just continue to do some legwork first there. I think the second option is to, file a complaint with the Securities and Exchange Commission. You can go to their website at sec.gov, and the Securities and Exchange Commission would be the federal arm that oversees these types of investments. And, when you contact them, they will get somebody in touch with you and tell you kind of where you go from there to chase this down. I think at the end of the day, you may not have realized what you were getting into. You already mentioned you didn't understand the problem with the liquidity. That, maybe because that information wasn't shared with you, maybe you kind of just signed off on this investment and just didn't understand the fine print of what you were getting into. But the bottom line is we need to try to determine, number one, what is the status of this investment? Is this still a good investment? Did this company go under and go away, and you've lost your investment, or is it still there and you've just got to wait until, a certain point for liquidity? And then secondly, was there anything done improperly with regard to how this was sold to you, whether you qualified for it, whether the proper disclosures were made, and whether it was done in a way that complies with the SEC rules and regs. So I would continue to try to chase down this investment just based on the information you have. I know you've been doing that. I would continue to do that. And then I'd reach out to the Securities and Exchange Commission and see if you could get them to help you. They have a whole division. That's all they do is help investors in situations like this.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Karen. Listen, I hope you sort this out. I know this is frustrating, and we'll pray the Lord gives you some wisdom as you navigate this. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 to Arkansas. Hi, Chris. How can I help? Hey, Chris, are you with us?
Yes. Question is, I inherited an IRA, and I don't know what my tax liability is going to be.
Yeah. So inherited IRAs can be complicated. The rules are different depending on the beneficiary. So spouses, minor children, disabled, and heirs not more than 10 years younger than the original owner all have different rules for dealing with an inherited IRA. And if you don't fall into one of those categories, then you're what's called a designated beneficiary. Was this, who did you receive this from?
This is from my mother.
Okay. And have you taken any of it out, or has it just been sitting there since
I did. I did.
Okay. So do you, as a non-spouse beneficiary, typically you would transfer this, into an IRA, and has it been moved out of their IRA into your own inherited IRA?
Yes, it went from her account, and her financial planner created one for me and my siblings each in Fidelity.
Okay. And do you have an advisor, or are you? Yes. And do you have an advisor, or are you are you handling this yourself?
I have no advisor.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and who is the broker dealer, did you say?
Fidelity.
Okay. Yeah. They should be able to, you know, tell you exactly what you need to do there. I'd be happy to just kind of walk through with you the non-spouse rules. I've got to take a quick break, though. Let's do this. You stay right there, Chris. When we come back, we'll talk about kind of what your options are as we move forward from here. We do have some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. We have time for a few more questions. 800-525-7000. Chris, stay right there. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Spiritual warfare is a reality that none of us are going to be able to escape.
The scripture reveals that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We must be. But then the word of God says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So guess what that means? Our munitions supply is not limited to this natural sphere. We're not merely just engaged, we are engaged to win. I like that.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were talking to Chris in Arkansas. He's inherited an IRA from his mom, wants to know his tax liability. The tax liability, Chris, is going to, obviously, you will incur that as the money comes out. The question is, what is the schedule by which you have to take it out? The challenge is it does get complicated because it was already complicated, and then it changed quite a bit under the SECURE Act, which came out a few years ago. And essentially, what most folks will end up having to do with a non-spouse beneficiary is to distribute the full balance within 10 years. So the IRS published these regs back in February of 22, and it required the beneficiaries to use the 10-year withdrawal schedule to take an annual required minimum in years 1 through 9, and then fully deplete the account by December 31st of year 10. Now, was she already taking required minimums at that time?
Yes, she was.
Okay. Yeah. And so that would typically be the way that would happen. And so you'd have 10 years to get that out. Now, because it does get complicated and there are kind of some nuances to this, I would work with your CPA, who could look at exactly, you know, what was her date of death, and that's going to determine where she falls into, you know, the rules on this. But if she died on or after January 1st of 2020, then the SECURE Act and the subsequent IRS regs are going to apply, and it's likely going to be that you will continue those RMDs and then, you know, have to deplete that by the 10th year, and then you'll pay tax as the money comes out in the year of the withdrawal.
Okay, yes, she passed away this year. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll likely take that out over 10 years, but I would use this as an opportunity to connect with a CPA who can just look at exactly what the situation is, the account, make sure you get that out on the right schedule, and then, you know, you'll just pay the taxes as you pull the money.
So you don't have any idea what percentage I'd be liable?
Now, you would likely just continue with the required minimums, and, you know, they can calculate that for you. The key will be that it's all pulled out, you know, by the 10th year. So you just want to make sure that, you know, you check with that person, and they can give you the exact schedule and dollar amount based on, you know, where you are in this cycle and also what the balance of that account is. All right, Chris. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. We're going to get back to the phones here in just a moment. But first, it's Friday, which means our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry was off last week. Actually, Jerry, I think you all were at a conference. Is that right?
I was. I was at a conference dealing with, you know, how to deal with corporations getting overly political, which is something that's becoming a great deal of there's a lot more interest about it. And, you know, meeting with state financial officers, et cetera, to say, how can we push back against this? And how can we be wise and tactical, you know, wise as serpents, but innocent and doves, innocent as doves to turn this around. So that's what I was doing.
Yeah, it would be nice if the corporations would just focus on the work that they were created to do as opposed to getting so political these days. It seems like they've forgotten their primary responsibility to their shareholders.
Yeah, that's exactly the issue. Do they have a primary responsibility to their shareholders or not? Now, a CEO, if he or she likes, they can take their own private money and give it to a cause. They can privately endorse various candidates, or they can privately endorse the Equality Act, or you know, boys swimming in girls, you know, matches, you know, tournaments, et cetera. But they're doing it with the name of the company, and they're doing it with company assets. And that, to me, violates the principle that we have laid down in the Bible of stewardship. Someone who is a CEO is a steward of somebody else's assets. Now, a lot of the stewardship material in the Bible is about us being stewards of God's assets, right? Everything we have, you know, God owns it all. But we, in some sense, when we own it and then we invest in a company, they become stewards of ours. And they've lost track of that in many ways. And they've always wandered. We've seen this with Target. We've seen this with Bud Light. But we've seen this with so many companies. On abortion issue in particular, that's one that I'm particularly concerned about. They just keep wandering into this territory. But what's happened is there's been such a backlash that now they're trying to say we're neutral. But they're also trying to say we've always been neutral, which they haven't. So I've been talking to some of these CEOs. I'm the CEO of Vimeo. I asked her, I said, why not be politically neutral on abortion? And she said, well, I was politically neutral. My announcement was just about, you know, a health care benefit. You know, we're just watching out for the, you know, for the benefits of our employees, and we're going to reimburse. Well, okay, do you reimburse for adoption?
Yes.
Because if you reimburse for abortion, you don't reimburse for adoption, then, you know, then you're making a political statement. And by the way, maybe you think you're neutral, but here's what you said a year ago on LinkedIn. Abortion is a fundamental human right. We're saddened by this decision. No, you know, society can, you know, be truly prosperous, you know, without access to abortion. So there's a pushback going on, and they're responding to that pushback. But we're also, you know, learning that a lot of this is the proxy advisory services that push the companies in a certain direction. And that's kind of where we're focusing now, because a lot of these companies, you know, they just say, well, what does the proxy advisory service say? And these proxy advisory services have tended to be ideologically biased as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Jerry, I always appreciate you updating us on your work there. It's exciting work. It's important. And as believers, we don't need to abdicate our responsibility to show up when given the opportunity. And one of those opportunities was when we're shareholders in companies to express our values and engage on these issues and not just accept the status quo. Jerry, let's turn to the economy. Boy, this market is just really, it seems to be quite strong. We're starting to hear hear folks talking about, well, maybe that recession's not going to happen after all. And, well, maybe we're winning the fight against inflation and we're just going to have that soft landing the Fed was talking about. What do you make of all of this where we find ourselves today?
Well, maybe we're not going to have that recession after all. I mean, it was never a certainty. Markets were pricing in a recession. Markets have been a little more optimistic. Now, one thing to keep in mind is you can't just look at whether the stock market is going up or down. You have to also look at individual sectors of the stock market. Yeah. So if the market is up, but a lot of that up is, say, in defensive stocks, like consumer staples, and less so in cyclical, then that's a little bit less of a growth sign, and it might be more a sign that, you know, the Fed is, you know, throwing in the towel a little earlier. So, you know, stocks and bonds can move in accordance to growth expectations, or they can move in accordance to expectations about what the Fed's going to do. And mostly this year, it's been kind of the consensus that the Fed's just going to do one more rate hike, and it's going to be a small one. Now, sometimes that, you know, most this year that probability was dropping, then it went up a little bit, but pretty much, you know, at the center, markets have believed one more hike, and it's only 25 basis points, like a quarter percentage point. Well, if that's the case, then that means that the Fed's not hiking that much, and that kind of helps markets, because when the Fed's not hiking, that means the Fed's not selling. And when the Fed sells, then everybody sells. So if you kind of dig in a little deeper and say, well, how are stocks doing compared to bonds? And how are cyclical stocks, which are growth sensitive, doing compared to, say, recession hedges, like defensive stocks? It's not so clear that the markets think that there's not going to be a recession. You know, my view is probably a recession. My view has been probably a recession. Official, like a negative number, or maybe a growth recession, meaning near zero. So I think that's really, markets are not debating a real soft landing, in my opinion. I think they're debating an official negative sign recession or something, you know, in the low, you know, close to zero. I don't really think markets are acting, when you really look closely, not just did the Dow go up, but did the Dow go up compared to the NASDAQ, and did the, would NASDAQ's more down compared to the Dow? Did the, you know, are the growth sensitive things going up more than the other things? I think you're still, you know, in a slowdown situation, which probably explains why inflation is down a little bit. When the economy slows down, it doesn't really beat inflation over the long run, because inflation is really about monetary debasement, but people get a little frightened, and when they get a little frightened, they spend a little less, and then the stores have to kind of cut prices to get them back into the mall.
Hmm. So your feeling is, in terms of inflation longer term, that we've kind of settled into a new norm in the kind of 3-4% range moving forward, or do you think we can get back to these numbers the Fed is looking for it too?
I don't think we can get back to the numbers that the Fed is looking for unless we trigger a clear recession, you know, a genuine, reasonably deep recession. So I think they're going to muddle through like they've done. Look, markets expect one more hike and inflation's still hovering around 4%. Historically, that's a high inflation rate. So I just don't think the Fed is willing to trigger a serious slowdown. I think they're willing to play chicken with a mild recession, which is indeed what they're doing. But again, the whole way of approaching this is wrong. You don't fix inflation by slowing down the economy. Actually, you fix inflation by speeding up the economy. Too much money chasing too few goods. Get rid of all that, you know, get rid of too much money, but also solve the too few goods problem. Deregulate the economy and let it grow. Let the horses run.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jerry, I always appreciate you, my friend. I wanted to ask you about the decision on the BRICS, Russia-China-led consortium settling on using gold as the basis for their new international currency system, separate from the dollar and the euro. We'll save that for next week and get your comments on that, all right?
Sounds good.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our good friend and resident economist. He's president of Boyer Research. Always appreciate his insights as he stops by each Friday with his analysis on the markets and the economy. God bless you, Jerry. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Clinton in Mississippi, I apologize we didn't get to you. I'd love to have you on. You're right out of high school wanting to think about investing. Let's see if we can get you scheduled for the broadcast on Monday. Thanks for calling. Folks, grateful to have you along with us today. I'm thankful for my team today, Adam, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.